This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, 26 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back. We got a lot to talk about, huh? Government's open. What's that mean? Huh? Is there a limit this time on the debt ceiling? Is the debt unlimited? Confidence has been restored. Chinese have downgraded, I guess I should pose the thought this way. Has confidence been restored? There's been talk of downgrading the U.S. Lots going on. Boy, I'll tell you what. CNN was reporting earlier, they're hearing just this roar of federal government coming back to life. What is the latest? How much did it cost our nation? Did it affect the GDP? Ultimately, did anything get resolved? Will we go through this again in just 3 months? You know, I'm delighted the government shutdown's over. I know it affected a lot of people. Again, the funding has only been extended to the 15th, and gives you, I guess, 3 months to negotiate a new budget. But I don't know. Between now and then, you got some breaks, right? You got Thanksgiving, you got Christmas. So you have even less time to kind of work this out. And with the way things are going in Congress, I have a hard time seeing how you're going to get four different groups of people to sit down, come up with some kind of decent plan that has a chance of passing, you know, what really is a rather hyper-partisan, organization right now. So joining me today to help me better understand this and you as well is James Capretta. He's senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center and a research consultant for the health industry and many of its clients. He's been with me many times in the past. And he also is a contributing editor for New Atlantist and the author of the healthcare policy blog, Diagnosis. Jim, first of all, good to have you on the air with us. Great to have you back once again. At least we can talk about the government functioning now as opposed to how long the shutdown will continue.
Right. No, it's been a long haul, but, you know, I kind of am glad, like a lot of people, that they did reopen the government and pass the debt limit extension and bought themselves some breathing room to actually work on something that would have a little bit more permanence.
It's not as long, though, as people think. I mean, 3 months. I know what happens here at this network over Christmas holiday. I mean, everything in the country shuts down practically. Everything grinds to a slow halt, and then, you know, you've got Thanksgiving, you got breaks in there, and this is such a, as I said, a hyper-partisan, organization right now. Everybody's got a different approach. Will they come, do you think, in the next 3 months? I mean, I don't know, they'll be able to resolve and get this ironed out? I hope so. I want to be optimistic on it, but give me your take.
Well, I think you make a good point. It's, the divisions are very, very deep. And they're not going to go away in 3 months. So the only way they come to a resolution is if both sides understand that the divisions are so deep that they're going to have to give a little to come up with something that they could pass, you know, with bipartisan support. I could easily see us going all the way to January 15th and them having to do another 3 month extension because they couldn't agree. That could easily happen.
But
it wouldn't be very satisfying either.
And you have to satisfy the president, too. Congress has got to be able to come up with some sort of workable budget that would pass both houses and then have the president on board as well. But I'm sure everybody's looking for some way out of this mess. That's for sure. Hey, a little bit earlier, I'm sorry, Lindsay, what were you saying to me again? Yeah, okay. She's got audio of actually the president. Let me throw some of that. I missed this earlier, but here's what the president had to say about this whole deal.
Well, last night I signed legislation to reopen our government and pay America's bills because Democrats and responsible Republicans came together. The first government shutdown in 17 years is now over. The first default in more than 200 years will not happen. These twin threats to our economy have now been lifted, and I want to thank those Democrats and Republicans for getting together and ultimately getting this job done. Now, there's been a lot of discussion lately of the politics of this shutdown. But let's be clear, there are no winners here. These last few weeks have inflicted completely unnecessary damage on our economy.
Yeah, you know what, Jim, I found interesting about that statement when he started it? He said, Democrats and responsible Republicans. Was that kind of a hidden jab?
Of course it was. And it wasn't so hidden, of course.
Responsible.
Yeah, not so hidden. Look, I mean, what's going on here is that Republicans misplayed their tactics in this. They pursued some tactics that were not going to work. They drove down into a dead end. They got cornered and they couldn't get out. And so they ended up passing something essentially along the lines of what the president wanted all along. So it wasn't very satisfying for Republicans.
A lot
of people told them that, you know, it was going to end up that way from the beginning. Now, having said that, the big issue here is the health care law, Obamacare. And the president is unyielding on it, but the truth is that if the Republicans were more clear about what their demand is, and hopefully in the next round they will be, that they want a delay, particularly in the requirement that people have to participate in the program for 1 year, I think they could get the public on their side, and the president would be the one on the defensive, not the Republicans. But they have to do it in a way where they don't threaten to shut down the government, because nobody likes threats like that to be used to try to get your way. So if the Republicans pursue this and say, look, we won't shut down the government, we won't default on the debt, but we also won't agree to a budget that doesn't give people relief for 1 year from the health care law, at that point, I think the president and his allies will have a very difficult time making the case otherwise, because anyone who's looked at the news lately understands the health care law rollout has been a total fiasco.
You're right.
And it's not likely to get cleaned up, candidly, all the way cleaned up by January 15th, because the problems are very, very deeply rooted in the policy as well as the design of the current website. So they have a big problem, and I think Republicans would be wise to stay on the case, because they are likely to be in a better position in 3 months than they are now.
I wonder if they fear it's going to affect them in the midterm elections.
Well, I think, that's a year away, and it's a long time, but people told them, and I think it's true, that if you misplay this hand, it could cost you seats in the next election, and I think there's still a chance that that'll happen.
All right, well, let's go grab a few phone calls. You can join us here, folks. Toll-free, 877-ROME-777. Feel free to join the conversation. Greg in Chicago, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew, and your guest. I don't think the government is at any risk of default. If you really look at it, if they had gone to the deadline, they could still pay at least, I think it's 68% or 75% of their debt and their interest on their loans. So it's a false threat to make everyone fear this, oh, this deadline with default. But in addition to that, how in the world are we going to fund Obamacare? I want to know where the money is going to come from and what's going to happen to Medicare and the people who have been paying into Medicare all these years. And Social Security, there's plenty of funds. The Treasury Department owes Social Security billions and billions of dollars, so that's another threat they throw out there. It's not the Republicans, it's
all right.
Obama.
Greg, let me let Jim respond to you on that, because I think you bring up an interesting point. How are we going to fund Obamacare?
Well, on that point, the caller's got a very good observation, which is that the law is cutting Medicare to pay for the health care law.
Yep.
That was a big part of the presidential contest last year. Congressman Ryan and Governor Romney made this point repeatedly, and they were right that the health care law takes a huge amount of money out of Medicare, and then it puts it into this new health care program that they're setting up. So Medicare in the future, the big danger for Medicare is that they're going to cut two things. They're going to cut what's known as Medicare Advantage, which is the private insurance option in Medicare. So people that are enrolled in various private insurance options as part of their Medicare, their benefits will get reduced in the future because they're cutting that program back. The second thing that's going to happen is they're cutting reimbursement rates to hospitals quite dramatically under the law. And estimates are that, some 15% of the hospitals are going to have to drop out of Medicare eventually because the reimbursement rates will be too low to be able to stay in business. So those are big threats to Medicare, and
why such low reimbursement rates? Why not bump that? Because we know that people are going to suffer as a result of that. When hospitals say, "Hey, we're not going to take Medicare anymore," it's going to create a whole pool of problems.
I agree with you, and people that are fighting to try to delay the law are well aware of this and are fighting for that point as well. I mean, it's why there's a big contingent around the country that thinks that the law, more than half the country, really still thinks that the law was a bad idea.
I know.
So, and this is one of many reasons why they have come to that conclusion.
All right, my guest today is James Capretta, and if you want to join us, feel free to. We're taking a look at the government shut down. Obamacare has made it through the process, though, Jim, and that's what I find most amazing, unscathed. There's no sign that's going to get any kind of action in this session of Congress unless the whole thing collapses on itself because of how incompetently it was put together. What does that look like long term? It's made it through this round. What's going to happen come January? What's going to happen in the new year, which is literally only months away now?
Yeah, I think that it's going to be a very, very rocky several months, I think, for the healthcare law because the rollout has been poor, and I don't anticipate it's going to be. They keep saying, oh, we're going to fix it soon. Well, I actually don't think so. I think it's going to take a month to kind of get this fixed.
Yeah, I do too.
And so they are going to be in for a rocky road here. And that means, I think most especially, that arguing that you have to enroll in this program that has got so many problems is going to be a very difficult position for them. Mm. They want to continue with what's called the individual mandate, requiring everybody to buy coverage through this new system. But if the system is just dysfunctional, how can you argue that that should go into effect? So there's going to be more and more calls from people saying, hey, we need to delay this for a year. Well, and I think that'll likely be the
issue. Are we just stuck with Obamacare? I mean, I don't think the Republicans really can do anything to get rid of it. They don't have enough votes.
Can't get rid of it while the president is in office. While President Obama is still the president of the United States, there's no prospect that Republicans could get rid of the law because they'd have to override a veto. He'd always veto anything that got rid of it. And that means you'd have to have a two-thirds majority in the House and Senate. If we ever got to that point, you know, it would be a revolution, right? So I don't really anticipate that ever happening until the next presidential election.
The next president might be President Hillary Clinton.
Right.
So you might be stuck with another 4 or 8 years.
Yeah. If she's elected in 2016, you can bet that the healthcare law will become much more rooted.
Wow.
It would not go away at that point.
That's amazing. Do you think she's going to run?
Well, she seems to be indicating a lot of signs that she will.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know what? And people, it was a close race between her and Obama at the time, and I wouldn't be surprised if people love to be part of a first. You know, and vote for the first female president. You know, they don't even know half the time what they're voting for. You know, they get caught up in the media. It's crazy. But the consequences, both Supreme Court, health care in this country, everything else, are going to be they're going to be long term, and people will suffer as a result of them. Sarah in the Fox Valley in Wisconsin. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Jim Capretta.
Hi. Thank you. And tell Cassie, thank you for getting me on right away.
You got it.
As I said to her, with my whole heart and soul, I believe that when everybody's talking about all of this and they're going, well, how come Obama doesn't know that this is going to be happening?
Mm-hmm.
I firmly believe, and I've read other in National Review and Crisis, he knows darn well what he's doing. He wants to bring us down. He wants us to be like a third world country. And I think he really wants to see socialism take over so that we get to the point where we're no longer independent, mm-hmm. we're beggars, and we look to him for every crumb. And that's so when people go, well, why is he doing this? Can he figure out the math?
Well, Sarah, I say that I often think the same thing sometimes. And Jim, I'd love to get your take on this because, you know, President Obama, whether you agree with his policies or not, he's a very intelligent man. And clearly, if you're talking about this, Jim, and so many other people are also speaking about the problems with Obamacare and all of the other problems with big government and so many of these entitlement programs, clearly he knows the ramifications of what's going to happen. There's a great documentary out done by Dinesh D'Souza. Was it D'Souza? He may have. It was a 2016 or 2013. Did you see that documentary? It was out there.
I didn't, but I heard about it.
And it kind of looked at the long-term plan. Give me your take. Do you think the president has an agenda here? And again, I'm always cautious about going down this path because we don't know his heart or in his mind, but there's a lot of signs and there's a lot of evidence that what he's putting into place right now will not be good for the future of America.
Yeah. I guess I'm not one who adheres to that sort of theory, but you know, I understand why people kind of come to that conclusion. But look, I mean, if he was trying to institute a more, you know, if he was trying to use the failure of the healthcare law to kind of really further socialism in America, it would be a funny way to do it, right? Because everybody understands that the healthcare law is more toward a government-controlled health system.
That's right.
And if it turns into an utter failure, it doesn't increase people's confidence and give, you know, make them want to give the government even more power over the economy. So I think if the health care law, if Obamacare crashes and burns, it doesn't advance his project at all. I think it sets it back quite a bit.
So in your opinion, then, he truly believes that this is good for America, it can be funded, and that, you know, in the long term, there won't be rationing and there won't be a de-quality, or there won't be a deterioration in the quality of care that Americans are going to have access
well,
to.
Well, I do think he believes that. I think, you know, he probably does think, well, there'll be some rationing, but it won't be so bad, you
right.
know. But I think he does believe it will be better. What he doesn't understand is that the government can't run this thing very competently, and I think they're finding that out. I think they're embarrassed by the rollout. I don't think they're emboldened.
Right. Yeah, that was bizarre with that whole website. I mean, of all the things you'd get right, I think that would be the easiest of them all. But, you know, Jim, let me take a quick break. When we come back, we can take a few more calls. I want to talk about the debt ceiling, too, and not just Obamacare. We'll talk about the impact that they may have had on Americans in general and spending caps and so much more. And, folks, you can join us. I only have Mr. Capretta for a few more moments. So if you want to dial in, join the conversation, our toll-free is here, 877-ROME-777, 877-ROME-777. Back in just a second, so stay with me.
Imagine being in Rome for the canonization of Blessed John Paul II and Blessed John the 23rd. Join Relevant Radio and Relevant Journeys April 27th, 2014 in Rome.
Hi, this is Father Rocky, and I'm going to be your spiritual guide on this incredible once-in-a-lifetime pilgrimage. This 9-day pilgrimage begins April 21st, the day after Easter, round-trip airfare from Chicago and other cities. Your trip includes a visit to the Vatican Museum, the Sistine Chapel in St. Peter's, the tomb of St. Paul, and we'll see the relics of the Holy Cross. Then, Divine Mercy Sunday, it's the big day. We'll join the faithful from around the world in St. Peter's Square for the canonization of Blessed John Paul II and Blessed John the 23rd with Pope Francis. Hurry, space is limited.
For more information, go to relevantradio.com, keyword pilgrimage, or call 1-800-515-2632. That's 1-800-515-2632. And be sure to say that Father Rocky sent you.
John Paul II, waits for you.
Hi, y'all. It's Franciscan Father Albert Haas. This weekend on Spirit and Life, Bridget and I continue our discussion on spiritual practices. Specifically, we're going to have a little Franciscan influence this weekend when we talk about praying with creation. That's this weekend on Spirit and Life on Relevant Radio.
Join Father Albert and Sister Bridget every Sunday morning at 8 Central, right here on Relevant Radio.
Hey, when it comes to cell phone providers, Ciena is putting life in the phone service. Contrary to other cell phone providers, Ciena actually works to build a culture of life in America. Information at ProLifeCatholic.com.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
The eyes of the world have been in Washington all this week, and that is a gross understatement. And while they witnessed a great deal of political discord, today they will also see Congress reach a historic bipartisan agreement to reopen the government and avert a default on the nation's bills. The compromise we reached will provide our economy with the stability it desperately needs. It's for two sides to reach consensus. It's really hard, sometimes harder than others. This time was really hard. But after weeks spent facing off across a partisan divide that often seemed too wide to cross, our country came to the brink of a disaster. But in the end, political adversaries set aside their differences and disagreements to prevent that disaster. I thank the Republican leader for his diligent efforts to reach this important agreement.
All right, there you have the Majority Leader of the Senate, Harry Reid. You could hear in his voice, in some respects, it sounded battle weary. In some respects, as you're just joining me, good afternoon. It's good to be back with you. We're talking today about the government shutdown. It's over for now, and we've got a three-month window, a little reprieve. January 15th, this could all happen again if things do not get ironed out. So please keep that in your prayers. My guest today is James Capretta. He's a senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. Check him out at eppc.org. And James, before we get back into the issue here, you've got a great site there. People can sign up for kind of a newsletter that goes out with all your news stories, right?
Exactly. We put out a briefly, we call it, and there's a sign-up box on the website where you can sign up and receive an email. It comes out about every 2 weeks or so with all the articles that the scholars here publish and various appearances they make in the media. So it's worth getting.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, the issue with this battle to reopen the government, and it's going to be a tough, I think, 3 months ahead, and there'll have to be concessions. We'll see what happens. But the fallout from it has been pretty big. The president, and Lindsay, why don't we play this next audio for James, talks really about the disenchantment that the American people now have with Congress. There was a poll a couple weeks ago where majority of Americans would love to see all of them thrown out. You know, listen to this. Here's the president.
The American people are completely fed up with Washington. At a moment when our economic recovery demands more jobs, more momentum, we've got yet another self-inflicted crisis that set our economy back. And for what? There was no economic rationale for all of this. Now, the good news is we'll bounce back from this. We always do. America's the bedrock of the global economy for a reason.
All right, there's the president. He went on, interesting address, but he says there was no economic rationale for that, and basically Americans are fed up. He's right. Nothing really got accomplished. We had a government shutdown. The debt ceiling is now raised. What has this done for the morale of the American people, and what is it going to cost them financially?
It's done, you know, terrible damage to the morale. I think it's quite true that it was very minor damage to the American economy. You know, when you have the government shut down for a while, 2 weeks, you have businesses that are dependent on the government to some degree. They sell to the government various products and services. Businesses that are in and around the national parks suffered because the parks were closed. So yeah, there was some damage. In a you know, economy our size, it will be a small thing, and it will be overcome quickly. Having said that, I think the lasting damage could be to the politics, to the Congress, and the question is whether or not by 2014's midterm election, some people pay a price for the shutdown, and that could happen. I think the one thing that the president didn't say, and it was a little self-serving on his part, I think, to describe all this the way he did, is that what was being demanded here was relief for workers from the health care law, which is a total disaster. And he never acknowledged that and really hasn't addressed it because he doesn't want to.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. We will go to Kathy in Chicago. Kathy, good afternoon.
Yeah, Bex, I'm confused. I'm totally confused by what you're saying. Because on the one hand, you say that he's President Obama is a smart guy. And on the other hand, you say that he probably thinks his health care plan is going to work. Those are two diametrically opposed ideas. And if he were as truly intellectual as you give credit for, this would be not – he wouldn't hold those views. Secondly,
so you think there's an agenda that he's basically...
I'd like to take 3 points and then hang up and listen.
Okay.
The agenda...
Kathy, you got to make it quick because I only got a couple minutes, so make the 3 points very quickly.
Is that, as everyone is saying, that that this is a train wreck. I mean, that's the captioned phrase. The train wreck is the American people. We are all going down the tubes, and I don't think that that's a light thing. It is so comparable to any nation who's falling and where the people are powerless, and it does feel like the people are powerless. So my third point would be, what could you attribute to the American people? What would you tell them to do to counter any future problems? I think President Obama should be impeached.
Okay.
Point blank.
All right. Thanks, Kath. We'll respond to those questions. All right. And Jim, you and I were talking during the break just a little bit about this. If the president really was trying to advance a socialistic agenda and do it through healthcare, it's a silly strategy because if it fails, people are not going to want government handling healthcare, or they're not going to want anything else. But if it's effective, if he can get Obamacare to work and people say, wow, big government does work, this is fantastic. And the next plan he rolls out, Americans will take hook, line, and sinker. So when it comes to the president, it's hard for a lot of people really to get where he's coming from when they hear so many other experts talk about how bad this really is.
Yeah, I understand where the caller is coming from. I agree with you, though, Drew, that I think he's trying to have this succeed and then build on it to to go after even other parts of the American economy through, you know, legislation in the future. So I don't think they want it to fail. They want it to succeed, and then they'll build upon it in the future.
All right. Well, interesting stuff. Let me sneak another call in. Kathy, Cass, who's next? All right, let me go to Oak Park. She's been holding the longest. Donna, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew, once again. Thank you again for your show.
Thank you.
I'm wondering if your James is aware of the wonderful DVD that came out a few years back, Demographic Winter by Dr. Gary Becker.
Oh, yeah.
He won the Nobel Peace Prize for Economics. He's from the University of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Great film.
Demographic Winter, and the second title is The Demise of the Human Family. Because of the very, very low birth rate, there's never been a time when people have had such few children in their country, and most of the countries in Europe are...
Donna, I got to leave it right there, and her point, I think, Jim, was this, you know, we're facing a demographic winter, and the future of our nations and other nations will be fiercely impacted.